Is Iger giving us real value? Let's discuss. Welcome to Princess and Scoundrel, where we take you along our scrappily ever after from Fantasyland to Tatooine and everything in between. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Steven.
And Bob Iger's back. Changes have
making,
been
making changes.
Making changes. Our boy is back. He's running and kind of, my goodness, there's been so many changes recently.
So there has been a lot of changes, right? And that's what we're kind of, we're talking about, kind of seeing like, is it good? Is there value to it? And, you know, are they just like normal changes? But the other thing that is just kind of like always in the back of my head is like, how much of the changes were actually going to happen before, or were they going to be, you know,
were these already planned?
Yeah, were they already in motion, or did Iger say, no, we're going to do this and change it up to get it going?
Yeah. So what we want to do with this episode is walk through the big changes that have been announced since Iger's returned. And I just have to plug our agent Miranda at Carry On the Magic, because she puts together a blog post every single week of all of the Disney news that's happened in the last week. And it's just this nice little roundup. So when we were preparing for this episode, literally that's where I went, is to our blog at Carry On the Magic and just pulled the last few. So thank you, thank you, thank you to Miranda. She keeps on top of it. She knows her stuff. So we'll go through the big changes and then talk about our thoughts on them. Yeah. What kind of value are we getting out of those? So let's get into it.
Yeah.
First up, Genie Plus updates, which are needed.
Yeah, which I've said it before, I'm not crazy about it. I know you've been kind of like recently starting to get like, oh yeah, it's pretty good here, it's pretty good in this situation. I'm still like firm against it, because I still believe that it's getting you to wait outside the line and not in the line.
Yeah, but you can do things when you're waiting outside the line.
Yes and no.
You can go sit in the hub grass and eat your Casey's.
Okay, well, keep going. Keep going.
All right. You'll listen to me now.
Yeah, listen.
So two changes for Genie Plus. One of them, which this is what really turned my thoughts around on Genie Plus, is when it first launched, if you had a Lightning Lane reservation and you wanted a different one, you had to cancel the first one and then go get the second one. And that second one may not be there by the time you go through all the screens. Now, just like back in the before times when we had FastPass, you can actually update your Lightning Lane reservation and switch it out for a different ride, a different time. It helps a lot.
Yes, I would see this as a big plus for Genie Plus, because
are you going to do like bing?
Yeah, put a little sound. But no, I think this is like a really good thing, because that just the fact that they thought you had to let go of a Lightning Lane pass,
yeah,
to get another one, that is terrible, especially if you're depending on the technology and the network, you know, at Disney. It could be finicky sometimes. Like, that's horrible. Like, you're saying here, I can have a 15-minute wait, but I'm going to let it go because I want to try to see if there's other things. Like,
yeah, it made no sense. Yeah. And they had the infrastructure in place before with FastPass.
Yeah.
But the other benefit that they have added to Genie Plus is that you get your ride photos for free at Disney World. So at Disneyland, you get Photo Pass included with Genie Plus. At Disney World, you get the ride photos included now. So if you don't care about getting pictures in front of the castle or the Falcon, this is a big benefit, because then you get your pictures on, you know, Buzz Lightyear or Guardians of the Galaxy.
So I think it's one of those, it's a small change.
It's a quick win.
It's an easy one, because I don't know who's buying a memory pass just for a memory maker just for the ride photos, because if you're going to be getting memory maker, you're going to get it to get those photos in front of the castle. It's an easy win of saying, here, I'm giving you a photo pass, you know, photo ride photos or whatever. And it adds more value to the Genie Plus. That what is that, $15, $20 now?
Varies on the day, yeah.
But it adds more to that. So you're able to switch rides. You know, you get the lightning lane, you know, feature. And then here's throw some ride photos in there. So right. It just kind of like, it is a nothing big where you're like, oh, I'm saving a lot of money, but it has something to it.
But that one does have somewhat of a dollar amount associated to it, where it's like I could spend the either $69 for a 1 day memory maker or $169 for memory maker for my whole trip, or I could buy Genie Plus every day and I can get the ride photos, which is all I really care about. That's kind of a, there is some actual value there versus like the update with being able to update your Lightning Lane reservations. You can't really assign a dollar value. Yeah.
I think that's more of a value than the photo. Photos, because again, the fact that if you got it and you had a ride and you're like trying to look for other ones, you would have to let go of that ride. Like you could be stuck with nothing.
Right.
And
I still think Genie Plus needs a lot of work. It's very, very complicated, especially for people that aren't used to going to the Disney parks and like the fast pass system and now having to learn Genie Plus, which is just more complex on top of it.
And it's still a day of thing.
Yeah. You can't even purchase it ahead of time anymore. So
it to me, if they had, not to say that I would want it because, you know, I would have to eat my words, but if it was like the old, you know, fast pass system where you had it in well enough time, you knew it at least three rides you were going to ride.
Right.
I think that would like be sufficient.
And that really helps, I think, shape our kind of mentality that we have for Disney trips, which is like we would get our fast passes. We would have three fast passes for the day and we knew we would get those three things done. And then anything else was just icing.
Yeah.
It was gravy. Now it's, you can't bank on getting three things done every day.
Yeah. So I think that's where, you know, I would, if we could ever get back to that old fast pass system or something really close to it.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
It would be nice, but changes in the right direction for Genie Plus.
Yeah.
Plus plus.
I would give it like a plus minus.
A plus minus. Okay. Let's move on to actual attractions and entertainment in the park, because there has been a lot of conversation about this lately. Lots of changes.
Is Tron finally coming out?
Maybe.
Now it's at the point where it's like you can't even say it's going to come out. Or maybe Iger says, I don't care. It's coming out on this day. Everybody's all hands on deck. It's going to come out.
Maybe. So here's the thing that when we were talking about it earlier, it's like, oh, man, it kind of, the timing, we're glad we have a date, but the timing, it was initially supposed to come out with the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World on October 1st, 2021. The 50th anniversary celebration lasted for 18 months. It's ending at the end of March. Well, technically a couple days into April. And Tron opens April 4th, 2023, like right after this 18-month celebration.
So instead of at the beginning, it was at the end.
Yeah, it bookended. So it's happening. We're going to have another ride, which is good timing because Splash Mountain is closing for their refurbishment. So it will be nice to have another attraction like that in the park. But maybe finally, we'll all believe it when it happens, but Tron is finally opening in Magic Kingdom.
We'll see. I'm not holding my breath.
It's a big value, though, because it's poor Tron has been the butt of the joke for years now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that we kind of had like a global pandemic in the middle of it. But to finally have that open, it's like when you're working and you have your to-do list of things that you need to do. And Tron's just been like sitting there like it hasn't been checked off yet. And it's gotten to the point where it's just like, oh, my God, just get it done so we can just like check this off and move on. So finally, Iger's like, all right, this was on my list before I left. I'm coming back and checking it off. But there are other things that are happening, all of them in Magic Kingdom. So Cinderella's Royal Table, it was just Cinderella there, but now she's going to have her princess friends coming back with her. So that's good. That's an easy win.
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of those things that you add. Adding that is, you know, just adding the characters, but people that may have not wanted to have those dining experiences because it was just one of the princesses. Whereas like they knew in the past that there was all of them or right. more.
There's more. Yeah.
It's just like you feel like you're getting that value.
It also, I think, feels like, and there's two other changes I'll talk about. It feels like it's just getting back to normal. So the other two changes are existing attractions that are just reopening. One of them is Ariel's Grotto, which is a meet and greet with Ariel. That's opening up again. And then one of my personal favorite things to do in Magic Kingdom, which is Enchanted Tales with Belle.
That one's a good one.
It's so good. And it's so underrated. And I don't understand why any of these three things have taken so long to reopen.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like Enchanted Tales with Belle, yes, there's a lot more staffing involved with it. I think
the thing was, is like it was pandemic. It was still so close to the pandemic.
Safety concerns. Yeah.
So I think that may have been the big motivator for not opening it up. But again, and the other thing is like with these rides, you know, or quote unquote attractions opening up, it's going to increase the fast passes. Right?
Lightning lanes.
Or lightning lanes. Oh my gosh. See, I'm still stuck on fast pass. The lightning lane attractions because they include those in there. So
more value.
So again, that's
you got to get it where you can. Okay.
Standing firm. But this is going to add more attractions to it. So people get spread out. So there's more of a chance of you getting into the rides that you want.
Right. But with more people getting in line to meet Ariel, doing Enchanted Tales with Belle, and then Tron. Yes, like I said, we're losing Splash Mountain, but that's dispersing people throughout the park, which means lower wait times overall at Magic Kingdom. Right?
Hopefully. I think that's the intention.
Right.
I mean, how long is Splash Mountain supposed to be out?
I don't think they've said. I'm not entirely. I don't know. So, it'll be a few years, I'm sure.
Okay.
It'll be a while. But yeah, we're making strides. But the fact that it's coming back, things are coming back to normal. And I do think that these are direct. I think these are Iger changes.
I mean, they could be. It could be, again, simple as like, hey, we need to open these up. Like whatever it takes, let's open them up.
Yeah.
And get back to normal.
Because it's easy. Like Ariel is just staffing. It's just some attendance, the character, and photo pass. Enchanted Tales with Belle, like it's a little more complex because there's an attraction element to it. And then adding another princess. And
now you start thinking about it. Okay, that's another photo opportunity.
Yeah.
So then you get people wanting to get the memory maker. So,
And
I think that's the other thing is like all these little, the nickel and diming of everything, people are going to find shortcuts. You know, okay, the lightning lane. I'm not going to pay for lightning. I'm just going to wait.
Yeah. Memory maker. I'll just use my own phone.
Yeah. I'll do that. But if there's a perceived value there, then you're kind of like, it's not that much more. And then I get all these, you know, picture opportunities, photo opportunities, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's when it becomes a value.
I agree. Now there is one thing that I have been wanting to come back to Magic Kingdom even more than Enchanted Tales with Belle. Happily Ever After is coming back.
Do you think that was Iger?
Oh, I do think that was Iger. Well, no, that was not Iger.
I don't think so.
That wasn't Iger. That was announced at D23, which was before Iger came back. I think that was a direct result of me and all of the other Happily Ever After fans.
I agree with that. I think it was... I was not a big fan of Enchantment.
Yeah,
I wasn't a big fan of it. I didn't feel like I was a big vocal non-believer,
non-fan.
But I did appreciate that Happily Ever After was coming back. Like there's an emotional attachment to it, and I think it's just a beautiful song, and then just the whole show. Because it's going to be funny because once it comes back, are people going to get upset that it's the same old show?
Maybe. Like people will be upset for any reason.
But it's like they couldn't update the, you know, the video or anything right? like that, the projection. Like so
put Encanto in there.
But yeah. So, but yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for it. You know, I think we saw Enchantment once.
In the parks. Like, yeah.
Once. In the parks. But once Happily comes back, like I think we're definitely going to go back and catch it again. So
I'm so excited for it. And like,
and it's really because I don't like the crowds. I think that's the big thing is like, but before this one, you know, we'll
brave it.
I'll brave it and I'll deal with the crowds.
Yeah. It's just such a good show. So yeah, Enchantment's going away at the end of the 50th anniversary and Happily Ever After is coming back. And I don't think there's any plans to replace Happily Ever After at this time. So yes, big win there.
But speaking of fireworks, the barges.
Yeah. So that's the other one. So at Epcot, Harmonious was the 50th anniversary fireworks show. I don't know that they ever actually
said it was the 50th.
It was the new Epcot Nighttime Spectacular. So it's going away. Yeah. I think it's April 2nd. It's going away. Along with that going away, that show going away, the barges are going to be going away, which I also think is a direct result of Disney fans not liking those barges.
Yeah. I think the thing is like, if it was during the day, those barges actually did something where it was a waterfall. It was something that it was an attraction. Then people are like, oh, okay, like this is what it's supposed to be. It's not nice. They could tweak it or whatever. But they were just like big rocks in the middle. Big tacos in the middle of the, you know, that lake.
Yeah.
So it wasn't attractive. And again, people are accepting of it if it's like, you know, make it look like something, you know, yeah. some ships or something. Just, I don't know.
Do something.
Yeah, do something. and then it's, you know, the show itself was pretty good, but it's not.
You
like,
liked that one better than Enchantment.
Yeah, I did.
And I was the opposite of you because you're like, oh, yeah. And I'm there like.
Well, because it was just kind of like the songs that we knew, but just in like different languages and stuff like that. So yeah. It was like, you know, familiar, but new enough.
But that will be going away. The interim show that they had. When they were building Harmonious, Epcot Forever. So it was Illuminations for the longest. And then they had Epcot Forever, which was like a little interim show before Harmonious. So they're just going back to Epcot Forever.
Yeah.
For how long? Maybe forever.
Nah, I think that one, they'll eventually like find something else too.
They'll do something. Because
Epcot does need something.
Yes.
It needs something. And because, especially for the fireworks, because it has like, Spaceship Earth, like it's just like a beautiful setting, and then because everybody could just be around it and have like, you know, front row views,
right?
So
it's the best.
It's a missed opportunity if you don't have something big.
Exactly. So I don't think they have any plans right now for the next Epcot show. So you'll have Epcot Forever for a while. Gentle suggestion, Bob. Bring back the Star Wars Nighttime Spectacular at Hollywood Studios. Maybe
that would be nice.
I love Happily Ever After. It has a very, very special place in my heart. But the Star Wars fireworks were so good. And you've got it. You've got the projections.
And maybe Fantasmic wouldn't be so crazy.
It's wild over there. Oh, my gosh. So
I haven't gone, but I saw.
Don't go,
I've seen videos. And like you were telling me like, yeah, you probably wouldn't like it.
Yeah, you are very crowd averse. And like you feel absolutely trapped. Because I sat all the way at the end. And so I was just like standing there like in a crowd of people forever. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you were like out and about and had escape routes because I had no escape route. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to.
So, wait. But.
Great show. That was the first time I'd seen it, but yeah.
It could maybe split some of those people out.
Yeah. So. Let's move to the next ones, which are annual pass changes. There's a couple changes. One of them for Disney World is that park pass reservation restrictions have loosened like a lot. So if you're going, say you're like a local to Orlando and you have a day job and you want to go to the parks in the evenings, you don't need a park pass reservation. If you're entering the parks after 2 p.m., you don't need a reservation unless you're going to Magic Kingdom on the weekends.
So does that include just anybody with APs?
Anybody with APs.
Okay, so...
Like if we were taking a late flight and we're getting in at like 3 o'clock, we're going to get to the parks at 3 o'clock. We could just stroll in without a reservation.
That's cool. Again, I think
that's. Is it though?
Well, because again, for that particular situation, the days that we were flying in, there would have to be like, okay, we have to make a park reservation.
Yeah.
And it was pointless because you're coming after, you know, most people are going back to the rooms and everybody's like, it's chilled out. Like, I didn't see a point for it. And I think that, like, we've kind of talked about this, that there has to be some kind of metric with the park pass reservation, the reservations,
yeah,
that Disney doesn't want to let go. Because even on the Disneyland side, they've changed it to 11 o'clock at DCA.
Yeah, Disneyland. So it used to be 1 p.m. is when you could park hop, and now it's 11 a.m. That's another change that they made recently.
So,
why?
Yeah, it's because the thing is like, what am I? I'm thinking, if it's somebody that's rope dropping, and I'm going like a content creator, right? The very like small, minute amount of people is rope dropping, going to Rise of Resistance, going to some, you know.
Are we in Disneyland or Disney World?
Disneyland.
Okay.
Disneyland. But just this scenario.
Yeah.
This, they're going to these certain rides. Are do you think they're going to be park hopping at 11 o'clock? Because I feel that's when the masses would be coming. Like if there are people visiting. Again, and I'm talking more like the weekends, not during the week, because that's typically work folk.
Yeah.
So I think it's typically easy to move around.
Yeah. It's just strange that it's before lunchtime.
Yeah.
So like, what were you capturing if it was not staffing and inventory for the morning and lunch?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, is there that much people that would be going to one park and then jumping to the other one?
That's
like,
what
if it's, you know, 100 people.
Just let it go. Yeah, just let us hop.
Just let it go. Like, that would be even more perceived, just, you know,
value.
And not a value, but just like perceived. Hey, we want customer satisfaction.
We want freedom.
because there's really no point. I don't see a point unless, again, there's that metric of their tracking of who's coming in the morning.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's the park pass reservations, which with the APs, it's just strange because it's like, it's not that you don't need park pass reservations ever. You still need them in probably 50% of your scenarios. So it's just now you have to think like, okay, wait, what time am I going to be there? Do I need one? Is it the weekend? It's weird.
I think one of the things too, and it's like, and we'll kind of talk about it later, but I think the big thing too is you have to see how Disney is wanting you to play with that, right? Like how, like they're giving you this piece, this puzzle piece, mm-hmm. and they have something in their mind that this is how it's intended to work. So it's functioning in this way. It's supposed to work this way. Because if you're a resort guest, you get sometimes early.
You get early in early. Yeah. So everybody gets in early.
Is that intended that they intend you to be going in early? If you're staying at our resorts, we intend for you to go in super, super early. So by 2 o'clock, you should have done
everything,
done what you needed to do at this park and then move on. But by that point, we don't really care because we've tracked you where it's your morning.
Yeah.
Or you go back to the room, go rest, or you go do something else, go to Disney Springs. But we don't know how they intend or what their intent is with this, you know, the releasing of these reservations or moving of the reservations.
Right. Yeah. So the other thing that they have come out with, and I can't really rebut you because I have no idea. I have no idea what they're doing with that. But the other thing that came out, which is a true value, Magic Keys, which are Disneyland's annual passes, are being sold again. And it's like based on availability, subject to change. It's a big step in the right direction.
Yep.
And they've had Magic Keys where they've like become available and then they sell out and then they, you know, close it down and then they come available. But as of the time that we're recording this, Magic Keys were available for sale again.
But didn't they shut down? I want to say partly because of the pandemic, but then they had like a whole issue before about like the blackout dates.
That was a whole thing. Like,
but wasn't it something that it kind of like, it was the blackout stuff that led into the pandemic? So it was just kind of like, hey, we're just going to cut it all off?
I think, well, I don't know if it was the blackout stuff that led into it or if it was just like they weren't, they didn't feel like they were charging enough for annual passes or for I forget what they called it back then, but the Disneyland passes, because pandemic was kind of a reset for them completely, where they reset annual pass pricing and structures on both coasts.
Yeah.
And the whole Genie Plus thing. So I see it as if Magic Keys are coming back at Disneyland, which is, I feel, a bigger, like, local focused park. And so the fact that they're opening it up for cheaper admission at that park means maybe over on the other coast, annual passes will be opening up again soon.
So I think that is something that has to be looked at more in the sense of someone that doesn't necessarily live there or like new transplants to those places. Because if you've lived there, you probably have one already and you've had one just because you're there. Right. I know Disneyland, a lot of those, the guests, they do let them go. And then now they're kind of like, I wish I would have kept it type of thing.
Right.
But, and again, there's just, Disneyland's just weird because they do have like weird, like if it rains, you can't go that, like it just like weird things like that, right?
It's if the groundhog sees shadow.
And they're like, nope, you can't.
Can't go to DCA.
No more weekends, no more Saturdays. But, you know, I'm thinking Disney World, if they've had it, they're probably going to have it. And then adding it to like being, opening it up, it's going to, again, it's the customer satisfaction. Because people are like, oh, APs. Well, who's actually getting APs? It's going to be people out of state getting them to go in.
Or new transplants.
But it's going to be bringing people
to the area.
To the area. Because you're like, oh, well, I could get an AP. I'm going to get it. And that means I have to travel at least a minimum of this many times.
That's us.
To make it a value type of thing. Yep. Right?
They got us good.
So I think that's, again, it. I don't see why they haven't opened it yet, but once they do, it's only going to benefit them.
So the last big one, and this is where you're going to see, I think the biggest value is actually paying to go to Disney. So there have been a lot of promotions that have come out recently, and they're wacky promotions. Let's put them that way. Like, that's the best way to describe them.
So this is the reason why we were getting... we were having a passionate conversation about about the value, right? It was like
multiple passionate conversations about these deals.
The thing is, and this is where we were like, is this an actual value? And, you know, you're quick, no, it's not. And then I'm like, well, there has to be, right? There has to be, like they're saying there's value. There has to be. You really have to break it down.
Yeah, we had to go price out different packages under different deals and look at like, and so here's the thing. The first deal that has come out recently, there's been three deals that have come out, I think, in the month of January 2023. The first one was a basic like save 20 to 25% on rooms for certain months. That's nothing new. We have a room and ticket deal that's in effect right now. We've got annual pass discounts. We have Florida resident discounts. Like, there are deals to be had. So that's not anything crazy. But the interesting part about that is that it is a percentage savings. Because Disney will do percentage savings and then they will do dollar amount savings. And so trying to, and this is where you and I got passionate, trying to, because you were like, well, what's the value of this deal at a deluxe resort? And I'm like, it's not that simple.
What do you want?
It's not that simple. You have to make apples relate to oranges in a way. And it's difficult to do. And I think they do that intentionally so that you feel like, oh, I saved 20%. That's amazing. Versus another deal where it's like, I saved $150 off of my each night at this stay.
Yeah.
It ends up working out to be about the same typically, but the big one that came out at the beginning of the year was the Disney dining promo card deal.
Which that was like a big fiasco because it was supposed to, it was, and this is why you can't have nice things, right? That's what I kind of you know, have deemed it, is Disney was like throwing a bone to travel agents saying, hey, this is coming up, you know, prepare yourself.
They told us for like 3 weeks ahead of time. They're like, mark your calendars. We're going to have a webinar and we're going to, there's something big is coming. And everybody's like, what is it going to be? The dining plans are back. Yeah,
so they say the dining plans, but then they say immediately after, keep this to yourselves till it's announced. Like, they want to be the ones to announce it, right?
And they very nicely, like, they told us the information a few days ahead of time so that we could prepare any, like, marketing materials or anything we wanted. Like, get our bearings together, which was great because typically deals just get dropped on us and we're like, we got to come up with marketing for it. And then we have to go apply all the promos. So it was nice to have the heads up. But per usual, news sites will leak it ahead of time, get things twisted. And it's just, this is why we can't have nice things. Yeah. But it is a Disney dining promo card. It is not the dining plan. We don't know when that's coming back. They've said it is. We don't know.
So
this just like makes it even.
But, and then, so again, this was one of our other passionate conversations. Yes. Like, is it a value? And in some instances, it could be.
Bing, it's a value. Plus, yes. So the way that this promotion works, without diving too into it, we're not here.
You have to get like the nicer resorts, right?
Yeah. Because
it's based off of the resort that you stay at.
It's based off of the resort type that you stay at. So you get, here's the caveats with it. And like I said, we're not trying to sell you a package or anything like this. Just like understanding the value of this deal. There are three different types of resorts. There's value, moderate, and deluxe. Depending on which type you stay at, you get, I think it's $50, $100, or $150 per night for up to, I think, 4 nights, maybe more. It's up to, you have to stay at least 4 nights to get the deal. You can go beyond that and whatever, but it's per night, not per people in the room. So if you're balling out by yourself and you're staying for like, say 5 nights at a deluxe resort, you're getting $150 on basically a gift card that can only be used at dining locations.
So it's a value.
If you're going to go like ball out and eat out for every single meal, yeah, it's a great, you're getting that value. But they did that. So basically they're just giving you a gift card that can only be used for dining versus marking down the price of your room.
And then, so again, this is where we look at what was the intention behind it. So if it's, we're going to a deluxe resort, it's like $150 a night.
Oh, and it also depends on like the months that you go. It's like cheaper, like you don't get cheaper, as much. Yeah.
But so let's say it's that $150 a night. That is approximately a 4-person dinner, would you say?
150?
Yeah.
No.
A 2-person?
2-person.
You think a 2-person dinner?
A 2-person sit down dinner.
Okay. So that's what their intention is. It's like it's a 2-person sit down.
Sit down. Or you have $150 to use on quick service throughout the day, which would then go a lot further and for more people. So it just depends on how you want to use it. You could say, I have $150 every day to use on dining that I wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah.
Let me go do a sit down dining each night. But it's a strange one. Like you don't get the card until you get there. You can use it pretty much anywhere that is a dining location. There are some exceptions to it, but the weird thing is that I've asked, cause I was like, is Star Cruiser included? Cause like the Sublight Lounge,
yeah,
it's not in the list of places that are included and it's not in the list of things that are excluded. So it just lives out in limbo. So if anybody goes
you gotta on this dining, try it.
Yeah. So report back please, because I am very curious. I've asked many times.
And that's the other thing is like, you know, I asked you do any of these things stack? You know, nothing stacks.
So it's like radio buttons. Like, when I go in to book a trip for somebody or like quote a trip, it's a radio button. It's like, do you want to be a Florida resident or do you want this dining promo? The other value that they're giving for resort guests is that now they're going to be getting complimentary self-parking at the Disney resorts. Now, this is how it used to be. So they're just giving back the free parking.
And it was raised the prices were raised, what, I think a week before.
Yeah. So.
So you know what? Everybody's paying for that parking. So
it's use free parking. It.
It's free parking, right?
Go park your stroller in a parking spot. And they do that. So they'll raise the resort prices year over year. They raise the ticket prices usually back in like November, December. They raise the resort prices. But with this resort price increase, I guess maybe they negated it by giving you your free parking back.
And I think that's the thing, is like they probably didn't see an increase in people paying for parking or a decrease in people, like it didn't equal out enough where it was just like, just
give them.
Yeah. Just put it in there.
So it is yes, they raised the resort prices. They typically do that, but this is a monetary value that you can assign to this change.
Yeah. Well, but again, you have to break it down. There's the value to the guest, like you, like, yeah. Okay, I'm not paying that. So I'm going to, you know, ride share. But then there's the other part of it where Disney was thinking, okay, before when it was free parking, this many people parked. When they paid for it, this is how much we're supposed to get. And they didn't get,
yeah,
you know, they got half that or a quarter of that. And they're like, well, people clearly are just going to choose not to come park here.
And so that's the case, because I know people that were like, well, if I have to pay to park, I'm not going to buy a rental car to go back and forth from the parks. I'll just take a Lyft or an Uber from the airport and then use Disney transportation.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they saw. They saw that people weren't
utilizing,
wanting
them
to spend the money. And so they're just like, okay, fine. We'll just give it back for free.
And then I know that when you talk about the Ubering from like the air, cause that's our main thing, right? Is taking the shuttle bus from the airport. And that's like the only, you know, we take, Disney transportation. That has been, I guess, people, one of those things that people want back of the
Magical Express.
It would be really nice. It'd
be so awesome.
But I think that's one of those things that it was a big cost to Disney.
A huge cost.
And
if you don't know what Magical Express was, it's been a few years.
Yeah.
You would drop your hotel, your luggage at the airport, at your home airport. And you didn't see it again until it was in your room later that day. Yeah. And so you get off the plane.
So that means, like, to kind of break it down, Disney, an employee would pick it up from baggage claim.
Or they would probably pull it back. I doubt they pulled it like from the baggage claim. Well, but yeah.
But you know, before it went out, like they picked up those, then they went to, you know, I guess.
Transported them.
They transported them from there to
the resorts.
And
then the resorts took them to your room for you.
It was just like a lot.
But yeah, you would get off of the airplane in Orlando and you would just get on the Magical Express shuttle and that was it.
It was
wonderful. And then same thing on the way back, you dropped your baggage at the resort and they would take it to the airport and get it checked for you.
And we've tried both Mears Connect and
Sunshine Flyer.
Those are the big dogs, I guess, as far as like the transportation shuttle. I don't think they had the infrastructure ready for when they took it over.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when Disney was over it, because it was still Mears, I think.
Mears was the contracting company.
But Disney was just telling them back and forth, you keep going, keep those buses going and pick everybody up, drop them off, pick them up, drop them off. Because it felt like it was a lot quicker. The last couple times that we've gone, it was very much like, okay, you're going to get on this bus. Actually, no, you're going to get on this bus. Or you're the only one we're picking up, so it's going to be like a little bit late.
Yeah.
Or we're going to send a van over there to come pick you up because you're the only one. And I think it's because, again, Disney was just telling them to run it. And that was like probably a lot of fuel, just extra time.
Yeah.
And now they have to consider logistics of like, okay, there's only one person I go to go in a yacht club as opposed to 10 people going to Pop. So we're going to take one trip. Sorry, yacht club person, but you're going to have to take the ride to Pop and then drop you off. Or they're going to go to 5 different resorts and 2 people are being dropped off at each one.
Right. Yeah. So if they brought Magical Express back, I think it would be in a smaller way than they did. And I think they would charge for it unfortunately.
Yeah, that would be something that would be of value if they did it. It was cost effective enough because it was nice being able to just drop it off and not have to worry about it. But yeah. Again, it had to be that right amount.
Yeah. So the last promotion, and this was very, very relevant to me and what I do as a travel agent, is there is a Galactic Star Cruiser promotion asterisk. It is on your pre and post stay. It's up to two nights. It has to be either, you know, two nights before, two nights after, one before, one after, at a Disney World resort. Limited resorts, limited dates. There's lots of restrictions around this one. But the tagline is you can save up to $700. I'm going to call this one a perceived value. I don't even know that you would call it a perceived value. It's like a perceived opportunity more than anything.
This is one of those ones that we talked about, like, how does it work?
Right.
Like, how could you game the system to make it your benefit? And this one's like a really hard one to get that $700, right?
Yes. So I have collected lots of data points on this. I've spent many hours over the phone since this promotion dropped getting quotes, because you have to do it through Star Cruiser. And so usually I can just go pull quotes off of the travel agent website for Disney, the portal, and send them. And then people come back and say, oh, can we look at this type of room or that or whatever. With this one, I have to call in and ask specifically like what types are available. There's only certain resorts. And the thing to note is with any Disney promotion, it is not like the one that's like save 20 to 25%. It's not off of every single room at every single resort. They hold a certain amount of inventory at each resort that is eligible for that promotion. So if you're wanting, say, let's do Coronado Springs, because that's the one that I've seen the most types of rooms available. You can get like a standard view, and that is a really good value to you. You can get it for, I don't want to give a dollar amount because it'll probably change. Don't quote me on anything, but you can get a good savings on a standard room. But once you jump up to the tower rooms and the ones with club access and the suites there, you're still saving the, I think it's $150 per night. But versus like the price of a standard room at Coronado Springs and a suite at Coronado Springs is thousands of dollars of difference.
Oh man.
So it's tough. Yeah,
they've only have so many rooms of
the only so many rooms. So you may want a standard room at Coronado, but all they have available for that promotion for your dates are the nicer suites there or at Animal Kingdom or at Yacht Club. So it's, if you want to ball out, you're going to save money with this probably, unless you're applying a different promotion at the time.
And this is what I asked you, because it's two nights. It's only two nights.
Yeah. Up to two nights.
Up to two nights, yeah. But it's up to only two nights.
Yes.
The intent, and I think this is what it is like they've seen that people that go on Star Cruiser, they go in at least one day before, at least one day after. Mm-hmm. And so that's the two, that I think, to me, I think this is the way they're intending for you to play with it.
It's a Star Cruiser sandwich.
Yeah. So you go to a nice hotel, you know, stay somewhere nice before, you go to Star Cruiser, and you stay somewhere nice after.
Yep.
And that's your trip.
That's your trip.
So I think that's the thing. It's like that's the whole thing is they're not trying to get you in and out. They're trying to like, no, here, like, come stay at this really nice hotel.
Come see these nice places.
You know, and you're getting like the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
You know, your whole stay. So.
Yeah. So it's a step in the right direction. We already have like some DVC discounts for Star Cruiser. We have this promotion. So there's promotions around Star Cruiser. It's not yet Star Cruiser promotions, but it's going to happen at some point. But yeah, this latest one is just like, it's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of math. It's a lot of writing down quotes. So it's kind of my processes for how I typically process a Star Cruiser booking and their quotes. It's like, now I'm having to sit here and be like, okay, I've got to go through and check everybody and everything. And it's a lot, which is why you use a travel agent and you don't have to go do it yourself. But yeah, this last one to me is way more of a perceived value or perceived opportunity than really getting value out of it. Because most people are going to want to spend most of their money on Star Cruiser and just stay somewhere the night before because they're probably flying in late. So take it for what it is. It is a promotion at least.
Yeah. I'm hoping that a lot of these things were things that were planned or like they had ideas of them getting to this eventually. And Iger's just kind of like lighting that fire under them.
Speed up that timeline.
To just get like, hey, we need to get it done. Because as much as like, you know, I roll my eyes, there has been just that slight perceived, you know, satisfaction from, you know, the people consuming Disney.
Yeah.
I think it's just it for whatever reason, you know, for whatever reason with Iger in charge, there's just that perceived.
Even our last visit to the parks felt different.
Yeah.
But I think Iger is very smart. And if he is pushing forward the timeline on all of the changes that we discussed, some of them don't even cost Disney that much more money, but they're quick wins. And so it's things that and that's what we were expecting is quick wins, things that are of no cost to Disney, but are of a lot of value to the consumers. And so he's doing it.
Yeah. And again, it's an easy win. Like people are happy. Like when they're hearing news, they're happy. They're not moaning and groaning like, oh, here's another price increase. Here's this, here's like, you know.
Happily Ever After is coming back. Like I've got no complaints. Now, if I had some suggestions, I would love the Star Wars fireworks to come back.
Okay. Okay.
Magical Express to come back and be free, but that's not going to happen. That's about it. That's all I really want. Fast passes.
I'm there with you. Fast passes. Yeah. Some kind of system like Fast Pass. I'm down for that.
Yep.
So make it happen, Bob.
Free pretzels for everyone. It's like school president. All right. I think that's about a good place to wrap up this episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. And if there are any changes that you want to see in the parks, maybe something that went away, something that's been gone for a long time, or something new, let us know in the comments.
Let's see if Bob brings it back.
He reads our comments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until next time.